Good evening, everybody. Did you enjoy that praise and worship?
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Guys, just a little quick something before I start with this message. If you look all around you, Christmas has become very commercialized. You know, for the average person, Christmas is all about gifts, receiving gifts, and taking time off work early. But that's not what Christmas is about when it comes to the Word of God. Christmas is about Jesus. And you know what? I've seen people walk around with a thing on their t-shirts that says Jesus is the reason for the season. And that's true. This time of the year, we celebrate the birth of a Savior. We celebrate the birth of God come in the flesh because He loves us so. John chapter 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus always knew that when He came to earth, it was primarily to suffer on a cross, to die for your and my sins. And He had a choice whether He had wanted to come or not. He chose to give His life for you, so that through His life, you can receive life. So that through His death, you can receive life. So, you know what? When you walk around the shops and you see all the little Santa Claus figures and you see all of that stuff, just remember that it's not about Him. It's about a child born 2,000 years ago that gave you the right to call God your Father.
Amen.
Amen. Well, bless God. I want to talk to you about something a bit weird, a bit quirky, but definitely interesting tonight. I want to talk to you about mud. Now, you know what? When you think about mud, for some of you, it's got some good memories because you remember when you were little, you used to play outside and you used to make little mud cakes. Some of you, if you were really adventurous, you actually ate those mud cakes and you ended up in hospital having your stomach pumped or funny stuff growing all out of you. Some of you, the closest that you ever come to mud, hopefully you are a lady if you do stuff like this, as you go for some weird mud skin toning magodi or something like that. But mud in general, if you look at it from this point of view, mud isn't something that most of us find it all that easy to get excited about. It's not something that gets you all excited and happy and charged up. Let's look at mud. Mud has the specific qualities that makes it dirty. And most people, I say most because some people are just weird and we have to forgive them for that, but most people don't like dirty. All right, and if you're sitting here and you're eyeballing your husband right now, I know exactly what you're thinking, you know. He might not have a problem with dirty, but most people, you know, most people don't like dirty. Mud is dirty. And not only is mud dirty, it depends on where you find the mud, but a lot of times mud smells. I remember when we were younger, we used to go fishing a lot, and we used to camp, we used to caravan right there by either the river's edge or the dam's edge, and the one thing that I always remember from those times that we used to camp close to the dam is when you used to go there and you had to walk into the dam, especially when the water had receded a little bit and there was all that like muddy sediment and stuff hanging around there. It used to smell quite awful, and you definitely needed a bath after you spent a little bit of time in that mud. Now, if we look at it from this point of view, mud has this quirky ability of always ending up on your brand new carpets. All right, picture the scene. You've just had new carpets installed. I know for some of you it's a stretch because you've had your carpets for 6 or 7 years, but take it as prophetic speech over your life. There will be new carpets somewhere in the future, right? And then, you know, you get one of those downpours that come down and your dogs, how's this? Dogs love rain. Have you noticed that? I mean, my dogs love to get wet. When it rains, they frolic, they play, they have a wonderful time, but don't let me throw them in the swimming pool because then they sulk for a week, you know? But they love to be wet. And when it's wet like that, they tend to get dirty, very dirty. And it's amazing, that's normally the time when you open the door like a millimeter and they're in like a shot and they're all over your carpets, all over your couches, and they're just having a really good time. Because they think to themselves, you know what, it's such a wonderful thing that we've got this rain, I have to share my joy with my master. And they can't understand why you get all excited and upset about it, you know? Very weird. So yeah, it often ends up as muddy footprints on your brand new carpets or your brand new car's upholstery. And it's even worse if you don't have leather seats, because leather seats you can just wipe. If you have like a nice suede upholstery in your car, that means valet time. And if you've got young kids like me, chances are 99.9% of the time it's going to end up right on your car's cloth seats. So, mud is also slippery. I know a couple of you, if you had the opportunity to come forward, could probably tell me some hair-raising stories of how you fell down and hurt yourself in the mud. And it's also something that we often get stuck in. Any of you ever been stuck in the mud? On one of our very same fishing trips, we camped very close to the water's edge at a dam. I can't remember, some dam other side of Pretoria. And the water had been receding for quite a while, but now it made a hard crust on the outside of this dam. So we went and we put the caravan there and we had a wonderful weekend. And then on the Friday, the Sunday morning, it started to rain. But we had one of those sudden downpours that wet the earth all the way down like 5 or 10 meters. And all that hard crust suddenly turned back to clay. And when we wanted to leave, my father couldn't even get the car in front of the caravan, never mind tow the caravan out. We ended up spending the Monday and the Tuesday at the dam because we couldn't go nowhere. I remember walking outside. I had a pair of flip-flops, you know, these flip-flops on. And I would walk outside, and with every step you take, you get taller and taller, and your legs get heavier and heavier, and then eventually my flip-flops broke. And so that was not a good thing. Now, the point that I'm trying to make about all of the stuff that I'm talking about is that most people don't find mud all that exciting. It's not something that gets our creative juices flowing. And let me just say something. If you're sitting here and you suddenly get visions of half-naked women doing mud wrestling and you're getting all excited, you need prayer, all right? You definitely need prayer. So there is, however, somebody that gets very excited about mud. And that somebody that gets very excited about mud is a potter. Because without clay, he doesn't have a trade. You see, what a lot of us look at as rubbish, what a lot of us despise and hate and would rather not have close to us, a potter finds something good in it. You know, when that potter walks up to that clay bed, wherever it is that he gets his clay from, it's just mud, because clay is mud. He's got in his mind a vision. There is something that he would like to make. And he realizes that he's going to have to get his hands dirty. He doesn't mind getting his hands dirty because he doesn't see the dirty hands. He doesn't see the yucky stuff that he has to work with. He sees the future. He sees that ornament, that pot that he's going to create out of the mud. And that's why he doesn't mind messing around with all of this mud. You see, the potter can take something that for us is common. For some of us, we might despise it. But he turns it into something wonderful, something spectacular, something beautiful, something useful that all of us need. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 to 6 says the following. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at his wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hands of the potter, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel. From this message, or from this passage of scripture, something is apparent and very clear. It is the potter who decides what the pot will look like. The clay has no say. You know what? I don't want to be funny, but if that potter was to walk up to that clay, that clay bank, and he was to choose a nice piece of clay, let's say 2 big handfuls of clay, and he's on his way walking back, and suddenly the clay speaks to him, and the clay says, I want to be a 15-inch pot, 30 centimeters in diameter, and I want to have a thickness of about 5 millimeters. The potter would resign instantly and find another job. You understand? Because that doesn't happen. The clay doesn't tell the potter what it would like to look like. The potter finds the clay and the potter shapes the clay into a shape that he has in his heart. He already knows in his heart when he goes to find that clay what he would like to make. Now, the potter will keep on shaping that clay and reshaping it until he is satisfied that it represents the picture that he had in his mind or the picture that he had in his heart. Remember, he knows what he wants to make. If he wanted to make a teapot, he has the general shape and dimensions of the teapot in his mind, and he will keep on working at it, until he sees in front of him what he saw in his mind's eye. Now God is saying, or showing Jeremiah, that God is like that potter. And he's busily working away at your and my life. Just like the potter works to shape that clay. And he's going to keep on working and working and working and shaping and reshaping until God sees in you what he knows he saw on the day that he created you. You see, this is the one thing that a lot of people find very difficult to understand. When God decided from the creation of the earth that he would also one day create you. Because you see, the thing is, God says to Jeremiah the prophet in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, he speaks to him and he says to him, before I created you in your mother's womb, I destined you to be a prophet. Jeremiah was destined by God long before he was ever shaped by God and came into function and came into being. He was already destined by God to have a certain look and feel to his life. And God had already decided long before he eventually took the clay and molded a man by the name of Jeremiah. God had already decided way back when, this is what Jeremiah would look like. These are the giftings that I would put in his life. And this is the way that I would shape him to be the man that I destined him to be. Now, I want you to listen carefully. Because you and me and Jeremiah, we're all the same. God doesn't have a creative purpose in one person's life, but a different creative purpose in your life. You see, it's not like when God created Jeremiah, he lost all his creativity, and when he created you, he took a blob of clay and he threw it down, and whatever was there, oh, that's Fatima. You see, God had a picture in his mind when he decided to create you. He had already decided what your destiny would be. And here's the thing. A lot of us, when you could look at your life right now and you could see two pictures, the way your clay pot looks now and the way the clay pot looked when God designed it originally, you will see that, ooh, there's a problem here. Something's wrong. Something's off. Maybe you should be higher. Maybe you should be lower. Maybe you should be bigger. Maybe you should be smaller. Maybe you should be rounder. I don't know. But the thing is, the analogy here is that God works with us like a potter works with clay. He's working towards a vision that he has for that clay, and he will not stop working. In fact, in this case, Jeremiah stood there watching the potter make a pot. And while the potter was making the pot, at some point in time, something went wrong with the pot. And the potter stood back and he looked at it and he decided, you know what, this is not what I wanted. He took it. He squashed it all back into clay and he started again until he got the perfect shape that he had in his mind's eye. And you see, that's very, very true about your life and my life. You see, God has a vision for your life. God has a vision for your marriage. God has a vision for the way that you relate to your children. It's all there. He's already decided what it is supposed to be like. And the thing is, a lot of times we don't really represent what God destined us to do. And so the potter needs to come, and just like what Jeremiah saw, the potter has to come and he has to reshape what he is doing, or what we have in our lives. Now, let's talk about pots. You see, pots are a lot like people. You get big ones and you get small ones. You get pretty ones and you get not so pretty ones. You know, we don't get ugly pots, we just get not so pretty ones. You get some that are very functional. You get some that are very homely. You get some that are more for decorative purposes, and you would probably not cook in them. You would put them on the mantelpiece and everybody would see that you've got a nice fancy pot. You know, some brand name pot. Some are more specialized in certain areas than others. Some cost an arm and a leg, and then again, some are much cheaper. You see, we buy some from Mr. Price and we buy some from some boutique shop somewhere. In the end, a pot is a pot. You understand? A pot is a pot in the sense that when you get back down to the basics, the purpose of that pot is to provide a means for you and I to cook food. We are compared with that pot. And when you look at people, people are all different. You see, people are very similar to pots. And here's the thing, even though two pots may look exactly the same, remember, we are not talking about the pots that you go and buy from Mr. Price. We're going back 4,000 years to the days in which Jeremiah lived, because that's where we find the analogy. Even though that potter might have tried his ultimate best to completely replicate a series of pots looking 100% the same, because they were handmade, the chances of him duplicating exactly what he has done the first time is null. Because you can't do it. It is impossible. When we use machines, we can duplicate something probably 99.99% or maybe even 100%, because a machine goes exactly the same distance every time, exactly the same height every time, and puts exactly the same clay down every time. A potter, when he works with his hands and he's being creative, cannot do that. Mark, you're an artist. Could you don't really do pottery, hey? You're more into painting. But if you wanted to, could you do two paintings that are 100% exactly the same, even if you tried for 100 years? Yes or no? Well, take it from the artist, our resident artist. He says even if he tries his best, he could never completely replicate what he has exactly done right now. Now, even though no two pots are exactly the same, every pot that was made by the potter was made for a specific purpose. So, you know what? You might get a teapot here, and you might get a deep dish pot there, and you might get another one that is more shallow, and they were made by the same person, and they don't look the same, but that doesn't mean that there is something wrong with them. Because one was made for this purpose, and another one was made for that purpose, and the other one was made for that purpose, and the potter knows why he made them, because you see, this one is to cook your chicken with, and that one is to make your cream cheese strawberry tarts in, and that one is to warm up your cup of coffee. And they might look different, and somebody that doesn't understand how these things work might say, but you know what, you've made a mistake, that one's not right. The potter knows what he's doing. Because remember, he in his mind's eye, he knows exactly what he wants to create, and he also knows what the form and function of that which he creates will one day be. And that is why when you look at your life is different from anybody else. No matter where you go in this world, you cannot replicate who you are, no matter if somebody tries. Somebody can look at my life. They can go back 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, even if they had a video of my life from the day that I was born, and they studied me, they studied all my mannerisms, the way that I behave myself, they tried to get all the quirks of my personality, and they get serious facial surgery to make their face look exactly like mine, they cannot copy who I am. You know why? Because when the potter made me, he had a specific vision for Rion. And he put certain things in me that makes me me. And he did not put it in the person that is trying to copy me. Therefore, I cannot be copied. But the good news is, neither can you be copied. And the great news is, God didn't make a mistake when he made you different from the way that he made me. Because when he made you, he had something else in mind than when he made me. So you are not flawed just because you are not like somebody else. There is nothing wrong with you because you don't resemble. Who can I take as an example? You don't resemble Madonna. There's nothing wrong with you. You don't resemble Prince Charles. Well, bless God for that. But there's nothing wrong with you. You are the way God destined you to be. That's the way God wanted you to be. You see, you cannot put a purely decorative pot in the oven. Because a purely decorative pot was probably made very thin. It wasn't put in the oven for very long so that it could have a high heat tolerance, because they were going to save money on it, because they realized this is just a decorative pot that somebody's going to put on the mantelpiece. Now if you take that pot and you put all your meat in it and you put it in the oven and you try and boil your meat or cook your meat, it'll probably explode because it was never heat treated. It was simply for decorative purposes. And so we understand something when we look at pots, that a pot has a specific function and you use it according to that function, and if you go outside of the parameters of the function, you're going to have a problem. Either your dish is not going to taste good, or it's going to flop, or it's going to be a total disaster. Now in the same way, you also can't brew your stew in a teapot. Well, for one thing, it's probably too small. For another thing, you can't get much into it because, you know, you can't get bones into it, etc., etc. A teapot is excellent at making a nice, good cup of tea. And those big pots with the big fat bellies, well, they're wonderful for putting your stew and your meats and all of your stuff in. You put it over a slow-burning fire and you just let it stew and you make a lekker poiki. It's wonderful that way. You see, if you use it the correct way, you will get wonderful use out of it and it'll be a blessing to you. You use it in the wrong way and it'll probably end up causing you great grief and stress and drama. So now we've looked at pots. Let's look at people. You see, pots and people are often very similar. You see, just like pots created by the potter for some specific function, so each and every single one of us was created by the master potter, who is God, for a very specific purpose, and we were created for a very specific destiny. And therefore, he put certain ingredients in all of us that would allow us to fulfill our creative purpose and to live our destiny. And therefore, we all have to be different. And so like pots, there is a special purpose for us. And you see, the thing is, it just won't do. If you try and fulfill a different purpose with your life than your creative purpose, because what is needed was not put inside of you. Now here's the problem. It is unfortunately also very true that people often have a problem with the potter's work in their lives. You see, many people are not necessarily happy with either their shape, their size, their function of their pot. Some of you will probably relate to what I'm saying right now. Let's talk purely decoration. Some people are not happy with the hair that they got. Man, Lord, you gave me this curly hair. Why have I got this curly hair, man? It takes me hours to style it every morning. Another one is saying, oh, Lord, why did you give me all this straight hair? I mean, if only I had one or two curls in there, it would make it just so much easier. Lord, why have I got these big hips? Why on earth would you design me with these big hips? Another one says, Father God, how on earth do you create me with size 14 shoes? I have to buy everything from Big and Tall, and it's costing me an absolute fortune. Another one says, Father God, why did you bring me down this bloodline where everybody's got a schnoz the size of a potato? I mean, really, what were you thinking, God? Did you miss the plot there? You know? A lot of people, when they look at their lives, when they look at themselves, are not happy with what they see. Now, you see, there is a problem. Because God is happy with what he sees. Because what he created in you is exactly the picture that he had in his mind's eye when he created you. And we all know that God has a sense of humor. He created Mark. God bless you, Mark. And Chuck Norris. Yes, yes. But yes, God, you know what? Sometimes we look at ourselves, we look at our life, and we battle to understand, why was I created this way? You're asking the wrong question. You shouldn't be asking God why. Not in the sense of challenging him and being upset with him. You can ask the question why, to begin to understand why God created you this way, so that you could fulfill your godly purpose and your godly destiny. In other words, some people spend a large portion of their lives fighting against God or being unhappy with who and what he created them to be. You know, you often see it in the workplace. Somebody might be good with their hands. It's just something about us. You know, from small, I used to love to work with my hands. My father had endless drama with me because his tools were permanently missing or broken. Because I was always in the garage fixing this and fixing that, working on this and working on that, and I like to work with my hands. You know, something inside of me just lights up when you put some spanners in my hand and you give me stuff that I can play around with. Put a welding machine in my hands and I can create something. I'm not an artist like Mark. You give me a canvas and you give me some stuff and you will think that I've created something really retro weird. Meanwhile, it's just because I don't know what I'm doing, you know, because I haven't got a clue. Because I don't have the creativity in me to do that, but inside of me is a different creativity. And another thing that is inside of me, I like to help people. I really like to help people. And you know what? I couldn't do what I do today if I didn't have that inside of me. But now sometimes you will find a situation where somebody might look at somebody else's life and think to themselves, you know what, if only I could do what they do. If only I was also good with my hands. If only I also had a brain like they did. You see, that's your problem. Instead of trying to find what is inside of you and utilizing what God put inside of you and finding the vision that God had when He created you, you compare yourself with other people all the time. And that is because, that is why you don't necessarily like what you are seeing. You see, the day the potter formed you, now God is the potter, He looked at you, He looked at His hands work, and He said to Himself, this pot is perfect. It is exactly the way I wanted it to be, and I am so proud of this pot. God is proud of all of His creation. Let me take you back to the day God created. We find the first 6 days of creation in the Bible, and that tells us about God's creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God said, let there be light. God separated the earth and the waters. God placed the sun, the earth, the moon and the stars in their places. God created the animals. God created the sea and the fish and everything in it. God created the birds and the air. And you know what? You can go and check there. Genesis chapter 1. After every single creative day, God stood back, looked at His creation and said, it is good. And you know what? God has never deviated from any of that. Whenever God creates, He will stand back, He will look at it, and He will be proud of it. And He will say, it is good. Why is that important? Because the world tends to tell you and I we are not good. The world says to you and I, there's something wrong with you because you can't do this and you can't do that. No, don't work with your hands. You should go into computers. No, there's something wrong with you. My friend, let me tell you something. I don't know what giftings you have. I don't know. Well, look, let's be honest. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You might not like your nose, but God loves it. When God created you, He looked at you and He smiled and He said, man, it's good. You might think you would love to have an IQ of 140 when right now maybe you have an IQ of 110. And maybe it keeps you awake at night because you can't solve difficult problems. Well, you see, the thing is, when God created you, He was happy with you. And He said, it is good. And there might be some stuff that you can't do, but you were never destined to do them. So it's foolish to even try and force yourself to do them. But there is certain things that God has already enabled you to do. It's inside of you. Instead of trying to be outside of who you are. The key is to try and understand who God created you to be. What is the shape of my pot? And what is the form and the function of my pot? And doing that to the best of my ability, because then things are going to start working out in my life. Isaiah 29 verse 16. You turn things upside down, as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall that which is formed say to him who formed it, he didn't make me? Can the pot say to the potter, he knows nothing? Now God is speaking to the Israelites because, you know what, they were a bunch of know-it-alls. And more often than not, their attitude was, what does God know anyway? We know better. And God was comparing them to this pot, and God was saying, listen, ya men, you are trying to make as if the clay tells the potter how it wants to look, what it wants to do, instead of the potter deciding how the clay should react in his hands. You see, that pot owes everything that it is to the hands of that potter that very skillfully and very lovingly creates it and brings that shape out of it. The Israelites often used to rebel against God and they wouldn't listen to Him and they decided they know better. And God says, when you do that, I'm comparing you to clay that wants to tell the potter where to get off, instead of just listening to the potter and being what the potter wants it to be. We will do well to remember that God is the potter and we are the clay. You see, the potter doesn't need to consult you when he creates you. He already knows exactly what he wants to do in your life. What you want is at that point in time irrelevant. God has a vision for your life. Now, people sometimes really do feel when they look at their life, they look at their personality, they look at their facial features, they look at the gifting or the talent that they have received or the lack thereof, and then they say, man, God really messed up. You know, I've often heard people say, you know, when it came to this and that, I was standing right at the back of the queue. I'm not so certain about that. Maybe God just didn't give it to you because He gave you a lot of something else. Now, the thing is to try and find that something else that God did give you. We can't all be gifted speakers. You see, the thing is, if we were all gifted speakers tonight, we would all be fighting to stand in front here and speak. And nobody would be edified and nobody would be blessed. I know not every single one of us is a gifted vocalist. And that's good. Because then we can enjoy the talents of Mark and Eugene and people like them that lead us in worship. They can bless us. But now you see, the thing is, there is something that I have that they don't have where I can bless them again. If I understand my form and I understand my function and I begin to allow God to use that which is inside of me and I stop trying to be somebody else and stop trying to fight with God based on who He made me, I might have a lot more peace, a lot more joy, and a lot more going for myself. People feel that their lives are useless. And sometimes they really battle to like what they see when they look at themselves. You see, our problem, our biggest problem when it comes to stuff like that is the one pot is comparing himself with the other pot. God, why didn't you make me a pressure cooker? I wanted to be a pressure cooker. Man, God knows your walls are too thin. You would explode if He made you a pressure cooker. So He didn't. He made you into a nice stewing pan. Because that's the thing that you were created for. And you see, here's the problem. If we keep looking at somebody else's life, and we keep comparing our pot to their pot, we will never be happy with what we've got. Because let me tell you something, there's always going to be something or somebody out there that can do something, in your eyes at least, a bit better than you. And if you keep measuring yourself to other people, more often than not, you're going to come up short. And you know what that's going to do? That's going to make you negative. That's going to make you despondent. That's going to make you feel dejected about yourself. And that's going to make you begin to question God as to whether He created a good pot or not. You don't have to wonder whether God created a good pot or not. God is the Creator. All of His creation has the seal of His approval because God spoke these words and He said, "It is good." Let me tell you something, there's a lot of people that might have said a lot of stuff over your life, but in the name of Jesus, I cancel them out because God, when He created you and He looked at you, He got a smile on His face, His chest began to swell, and He said, "It is good." Trying to live your life like somebody else's life will not do you any good. You see, only the potter can change his pots. You can't do nothing to change who you are. And putting, listen to this, once a pot is created and we do our best to try and change it, that spells disaster. Can I tell you why? Because the only way to try and change the shape of a pot or the form or the function of a pot is to start putting pressure on it to try and shape it into something else. What happens to a pot when you put too much pressure on it? Remember, I'm not talking about your AMC classics at home. I'm talking about those clay pots that they used in the olden days. Earthenware. Does anybody have earthenware pots? Anybody? Well, look, my wife has got a set of them. They're very nice when you cook chicken and meat and stuff like that. I don't know why. They just make it a lot more tender. Now, the thing is, if I was to decide one day that, you know what, this earthenware pot that my wife has, I don't like this thing because it's just the wrong shape. I'd like to change the shape. And I begin to put pressure on it, and I try and mold it and shape it into something else, what's going to happen to that pot? It's going to break. That's one of the reasons why a lot of people's lives are falling apart completely, because they keep putting pressure on themselves to change who they are when God is happy with them the way that they are. You can't put pressure on yourself to change. You are who you are. The quicker we accept who God made us, how God created us, the sooner we would start living a life of blessing and experiencing peace. The best way to discover your own gifts, your own talents, your own purpose, is to stop looking at other people's lives and comparing your life to theirs. People often, one of the most frequent questions that I get is, Rion, how do I know why God created me. How do I know what my giftings are? How do I know what my purpose is? The first key to understanding what is inside of you, why God created you, what your destiny is to look at yourself and become happy with who you are. Because then God is going to begin to show you what the gifts are that are inside of you. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The treasure that we have inside of us does include the gifting that God has given us. It does include the talents that God has given us. It includes the calling upon our life, the destiny of our life. You see, the thing is, I will never see the treasure inside of me if I'm always looking at her. Now and then I'm going to have to start looking at myself and start liking what I see. Because when I begin to look at myself and I like what I see, God can allow what's inside to come outside to be a blessing for Him and for those around me. And that's why some people are never happy, because they are not happy with themselves. You know what? With all due respect, if you are really that unhappy with your body, there are a couple of things that you could probably do to at least aesthetically change it. You could go on a diet. You could start jogging. You could start doing training or fitness exercises. But there are many things about yourself that you cannot change. Let's talk about plastic surgery. I can't say whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I can say this to you. If the only reason why you do it is out of vanity, because you insist on changing who you are and you don't like who you are, then you're probably going to end up with a problem, because at some point in time you're going to have to accept who you are. Amen? When you start accepting who you are, the treasure inside is going to begin to shine outside. When you keep running away from who you are, you will never discover what is inside of you. And let me tell you something. Every single pot has something wonderful inside of them. God just has to take the lid off, and everybody will see what God has put inside, and everybody will be blessed. Stop trying to resist God, and let the potter shape you the way that you were destined to be and to live your life. You see, that's my point. People resist God. There might be let's just take a stupid example. Your calling might be to be a teacher. Mark, at this point in time, is a teacher. I know you don't get a very good salary. Hello? That's why everybody says, He doesn't get a very good salary. And he doesn't have a lot of the perks that other people have. I mean, you don't have a company car, do you? Who's the minister of what's her name? No, the minister of education. He's forgotten, because they've changed 3 times this year. Yeah, that's part of the problem. You see, the thing is, there's a lot of perks that he doesn't have. No, he doesn't have a company car. He doesn't have an expense account. Mark, you don't have an expense account, do you? No. But listen to me. Does he do what he does because he gets the nice flashy car and he gets a penthouse office suite and he gets all of... No. He does it because there's something inside of him that compels him to show love to children. To want to help them. To want to be a blessing to their lives. To help them to develop to be who God wants them to be. And you know what? He's going to be very blessed because of that. But if he continuously fights with God about that, and he knows inside of him is this longing, but he doesn't want to do it. He wants more money. No, he doesn't care what God wants. Money talks. Some company will probably come and offer him a lot of money because he's a creative man and he's got good abilities and he works well with people. And you know what? He might go into the corporate world and he might earn big bucks, but can I tell you something? He will never have the peace and he will never have the joy and he will never have the fulfillment that he has right now, because he will be beginning to resist God in his creative purpose. He will then be a teapot being put in the fire and used for stew. And somewhere along the line, somebody's going to notice this thing isn't working so lekker. We mustn't fight God. We must allow God to use us for who we are and how we are. Romans chapter 9 verse 20. But who are you, old man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same hump of clay some pottery for noble purposes and some for common use? That's very important. You see, that's the one area where the devil catches most of us. We all want to be a pot created for noble purposes. We all want our nose to be bent out of shape and stuck up in the air, drive big BMWs. Please, if you drive a BMW, be blessed. I don't have a problem with you. But I have a problem with people that want to be you. Because God says, He's the potter and He chose some for noble purposes. In other words, some are going to have a lot. And some for common purposes. Some are not going to have that much. But both will be very blessed if they are where God wants them to be. You see, I don't have to have money to be blessed. The blessing of God is way, way, vastly more powerful than money in the bank. Because the blessing of God means things work out for you in life. The blessing of God means you have God's favor. The blessing of God means not only do you have God's favor, but your children and your children's children will be blessed. Remember what God said to Abraham? Because of you and through you, this earth will be blessed. Your children and your children's children will be blessed. God's blessing is God's favor. God's blessing is the right thing at the right time. Maybe you don't have millions in the bank, but when you need it, you have it. And you know what? You sleep well at night. I know a lot of people with a lot of money that don't sleep well at night. Well, you see, the thing is, they're not blessed. Money doesn't mean blessing. God's favor and God's blessing. The fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now that's what we need. But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same hump of clay some pottery for noble purposes and some for common use? Here's the thing. God will shape your life to be exactly the way He always planned and destined your life to be. Does that mean that you can't better yourself? Yes, you can. We can all better ourselves. We can all strive to be better. We can all strive to be more obedient to God. And you see, the thing is, the more obedient we are to God, the more God's blessing will come upon your life, because obedience equals God's blessing. And in that way, God will promote you, and in that way, God will exalt you. And who knows where it's going to stop then. But the thing is, a lot of people are just so upset with where they are right now that they're fighting with God constantly. Stop fighting with Him. Because you can't question Him. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You see, the thing is, God prepared in advance your life. And the thing is, you can't come to Him now and say, I don't like who I am, I don't like what I'm doing, I don't like where I am in life. Change it now. Nah, He's prepared it in advance. The best thing to do is, Lord, show me where You want me to be. Show me what You want me to do. Energize what is inside of me so that I can do good with what You've given me. So that that which You've created me to be can be a blessing unto You. And look at how your life will begin to change. Pots are very fragile things. If you don't look after them, if you don't treat them well, remember, I'm not talking about your AMC classics again. I'm talking about your earthenware pots. You, what was Adam made out of? Clay. You and I, we clay. Alright. If you don't look after them, if you don't treat them well, they have a tendency to chip, to crack, and break. And you see, people are exactly like pots when it comes to that type of thing. People are fragile too. And people often get hurt. You see, there are many things, many, many things that might have damaged your pot. Including some of the following, and these are just random things that I chose to try and get you to understand. One of the biggest things that will really chip or crack or break a pot is divorce or disappointments when it comes to relationships. How many people have not committed suicide because a relationship didn't work the way that they wanted it to work? Why do they commit suicide? Because they are broken inside. And we have to understand something. That pot, when it gets cracked, that pot, when it gets severely or badly chipped, it's going to affect the pot. It's going to affect the way that it works. It's going to affect the way that it feels. The things that people say over you. Can I tell you something? The tongue is one of the most powerful weapons that people use against us. Somebody can take you and give you a hiding, ses van die bestes, like we had in the old days, the good old days, when children still had some discipline. Today, you know, you supposedly you're not allowed to discipline them, and now we sit with anarchy and we all wonder why. But the good old days when we all went to the principal's office, you had to bend and touch your toes. Our principal actually made you put your head under his desk, so that when you jumped up, you got it from the back and from the head. You know, he was a rough hug. Anyway, he would give you six of the best. And yeah, you'd remember that for a week. And it would hurt, and it would really help to steer you in the right direction. But you know what? It didn't hurt half as much as that teacher that would pull you out in front of everybody and belittle you. Because that you remember for the rest of your life. That's what gets a lot of people down even now when they're older. 10 years, 15 years, 20 years later. I forgot all the hidings that I've got. I can't right now remember one. But I can remember some of the things people said over my life. I can remember the abuse that I took verbally from people. And you know what? That hurts. And you know what? That puts pressure on the pot, and the pot cracks, the pot chips, and sometimes the pot breaks. The things people have done to us, like betray us. You know, sometimes you think somebody's your friend, and you invest a lot of time and a lot of effort into a relationship, only to find out later that they said this and this and this behind your back, or they did this and this and this to undermine you. That hurts. Sometimes we damage ourselves. You see, the thing is, we can't always blame somebody else for breaking our pot. You see, the thing is, nobody forced us to have an affair, but people always do. People often do. That brings a lot of hurt and a lot of pain when all the stuff comes out, and you see, eventually everything does come to the light. Nobody forces you to steal, yet people do steal. And when it all comes into the light, it hurts. There's pain. Nobody forces us into drug abuse. You make a decision, you say, oh yeah, you know what, how bad can it be? And then 6 months later, your wife has left you, and your kids won't talk to you, or your parents have kicked you out of the house, and they've put you into some rehab center, and they want nothing to do with you. It hurts. Because the things we do affect our pot. And sometimes it breaks it. Sometimes it's just because of living under too much pressure, too much stress. How many of you know that right now there's an enormous amount of stress and pressure on all of us? Come on, let's just look at what's happened this year. Interest rates went up, 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 up. Apparently this country, worldwide, we are living in a recession. Everything that we buy has gone up by, let's say, 20, 30, 40%. Most of you will either get a very small increase this year or no increase this year. Couple that to the fact that they are working all over our roads and it's absolute chaos on the roads, and instead of taking an hour to get to work, some of you are taking an hour and a half, even 2 hours, which means you've got less time for your family and more time for stress. There's more pressure at work because they've retrenched 10 people because they can't pay them, and you must now do 2 people's work. The point I'm trying to make is that we are living in days where there is an enormous amount of pressure. There's an enormous amount of stress. What does stress and pressure do to a pot? It breaks it. It cracks it. Now here's the problem. All of these things that we've just mentioned cause problems for you and I. As a cracked or a broken pot is never as good as a complete pot. Just think about it. When you try and sell a pot, if you had a nice functional pot, somebody will give you $100 for it. You take a cracked pot, they're going to tell you, man, all my tea is going to leak out of it. They either don't want to buy it or they give you $5. It affects the value. Now these things that have happened in our lives, the divorce, people speaking over you, things people did to you, things you did to yourself, that affects your value. It affects the way you look at yourself. Listen to me. It does not affect the way God looks at you. Because God looks past all that other rubbish and He sees what's inside. He sees the treasure inside of you. He still sees the original picture, the way He saw you when He created you. But it does affect us. Many pots are vessels that are created to contain something. They must contain water, they must contain food, grains, something. They must perform that function. If it's got a huge crack running down the side, it is suddenly useless at doing what it was created to do. Now, what is it that we were created to contain? The number one thing that we are created to contain, we are vessels in our Master's service to spread the gospel of peace. I am a pot that gets filled with the Holy Spirit, gets filled with the Word of God, gets filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I go out there and from this pot, I begin to give to other people. I bless other people in the name of Jesus Christ. The more cracked I am, the more damaged I am, the less I have to give. Eventually I come to a place where I have nothing to give, and even if somebody else tries to give me, it all leaks out. And I end up feeling empty, and I feel worthless, and I feel useless. The Holy Spirit is referred to in the Bible as the living water of Christ. If your pot is cracked all over, if it's broken in several places, how on earth are you going to contain the living water of Jesus Christ? You see, the thing is, my friend, we can pray for you for the infilling of the Holy Spirit every single night at these meetings, but out of a cracked pot, the water will flow. The pot must allow the water to overflow. But the pot is not supposed to be empty. A lot of us are empty because we have this broken vessel that we're carrying around with us. And that's why many people battle in life. Because their pot is cracked or broken, and they cannot really experience the joy and the blessing of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now here's the good news. It's not all bad. There is very good news for all of us. Who's the potter? Well, bless God, it's not your local Woolworths or your Pick and Pay, because they'll just tell you, man, throw that thing away, we can do nothing with it. But God is the potter. And you see, the thing is, for God, nothing is impossible. And God is not just any potter. God is the master potter that knows exactly what the pot is supposed to look like, that knows exactly what it was designed for, that has the blueprint that can fix the pot. And if we trust Him to, He will. Jeremiah chapter 18 verse 4. But the pot that He was shaping from the clay was marred in His hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. While Jeremiah was looking at this potter, he was shaping a pot and there was a defect, a flaw in the pot. Maybe the clay wasn't lacquer or it went skew or something was wrong with it. Did the potter take the pot and just throw it away? Did he say, this thing is useless, I can't do anything with it? No. What did he do? He reshaped it until it was perfect. My friend, that's how God treats you and I when we come to Him in humility and in brokenness and we ask Him to help us to sort out our life. I don't care who you are. Every single person that is sitting here, you've got some cracks. I promise you. Because life wasn't kind to a lot of us. People said things over us. People did things to us. We did certain things ourselves that hurt. Pressure came on us. We took shots. If a woman is married to a husband that beats her up, it's not only the bruises that will affect her life. It is the cracks that he is making in her pot that will affect her life forward. How do we resolve that? Well, I don't have a problem with you going for therapy. I don't have a problem with you going and seeing a psychiatrist or a psychologist or whatever. But I want you to understand something. Not one of them is the master potter. God is that man. Not one of them can fix your broken vessel. God can fix your broken vessel. And the only one that you can come to that can bring you back to your creative purpose, fix the holes and repair the cracks and the damages. You know what? Sometimes you just need a whole new pot. Well, God can do that too. Because He's the master potter. And He can get you to look exactly the way you're supposed to. He can give you all the qualities that He wants you to have and destined you to have. You see, the thing is, before God can do that, the clay must yield to the hands of the potter and to the potter's will. That comes in with what I said to you earlier. Too many of us are busy resisting God. I don't want this. I don't want that. I don't want to spread the gospel. I don't want to use my giftings. When you come to God and you want Him to work in your life, it's not I, your will be done. You know, too often we come and we stand before God, we want Him to do stuff, but we first got our list of demands. If you want to use me, that's fine, but then this and this. No, 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 throw away your list. Stop telling Him what to do because you don't know. You're the clay. The clay doesn't know nothing. The potter knows what the clay is supposed to look like. So the thing is, when you come to God and you want Him to help you, you want Him to fix you, don't tell Him what to do. He knows what to do. Tell Him, God, you have the right to shape me and mold me into any shape or mold that you want. Because I want to be what you want me to be. Not my will be done, Lord. Your will be done. John 5, verse 17. Then Jesus said to them, My Father is always at work, and to this very day, my Father is always at work, to this very day, and I too am working. Listen to what Jesus said. A lot of us think after God created the heavens and the earth, and the sun and the moon and the stars, and the sea, and all the nice things, and mankind, God is resting on the seventh day, and that's it. No, look at what Jesus says. Look at what Jesus says. He says, My Father is always at His work, and to this very day. Now, if God was still working when Jesus spoke 2,000 years ago, and Jesus says, My Father is always at His work, what does that mean? That means God is working today. That means that God is willing to work in your life. God is the potter. The potter is ready to work. The question is, are you ready to let Him work? He's ready to work on your life. If you come to Him, if you, the clay, yields to the potter, if you allow His hands to shape you the way He wants to shape you and you don't tell Him what to do, He will fix, heal, and restore your life. And here's the wonderful thing. As God helps us, and He repairs all the chips, and He fixes up all the cracks, and He mends us where we are broken, we turn into what He always destined us to be. A vessel that can be filled with the living water of the Holy Spirit. That number one can allow that living water to give life to me and you. And number two, allow it to overflow wherever it is needed as God sends us into this world to spread the gospel of the kingdom. Now that's good news. Amen.
Amen.
Who's learned something tonight? Now, my friend, we're going to do the following. Prozi, would you come and help us? Pete, you, Mark, you. Could we quickly get out the CDs? And then, here's what I would like us to do. If you listen to what I shared with you tonight and you realize there's been a lot of things in your life that happened that has cracked your pot, and you might understand tonight why you so battle to receive from God what you want, because your pot is full of cracks, and as He fills you, it just flows all out of you. Then I want to invite you tonight. I've prayed about this today the whole day. I am not the potter. I can't fix you. But God is here tonight. I know that He is. The Word of God says where two or more are in His name, there He is. So my friend, God is here tonight. And Jesus said, My Father is always ready to work. God is ready to work tonight. You know that divorce that you went through? And after that your life just spiraled out of control and you've never been able to get back on the horse and ride it? Well, God is here tonight to help you to fix all the cracks that has brought into your life. You remember when you were growing up and you always felt that your brother got all the love and he got all the attention and he had all the giftings and you used to compare your life to his and you always thought, man, I'm nothing. And that has shaped you into thinking that you are useless. It's because you've got a bunch of cracks in your pot. God will come and help you tonight and He'll restore them for you. And you know what? You cannot believe what a blessing it will be when you begin to live who you are instead of who you think you should be. So then I'm going to invite you forward. All the chipped and cracked pots together. And we're going to pray for you. I'm not going to do it. I can't. I'm not a potter. I know nothing about making pots. But God will. I'm going to invite Eugene and Mark to come forward again. And here's what I would like to do. Once all the CDs are handed out and everything is finished, I want everybody that feels that they have something in their life that's broken, Pressure has cracked you. Words have cracked you. Things people have done have cracked you, broken you. You come forward. They're going to play two songs for me. I've asked them in advance which, well, they've decided which two songs to play. I would like you to come and stand in front here, and while they play those songs, we all enter into worship. Why do we enter into worship? Because the moment we enter into worship, the Spirit of God is here. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. The Spirit is the one that is going to do the healing, the restoration. And He's the one that needs to fill us. And then after we have sang this, and here's what I want you to do. The things that have hurt you, the things that have cracked you, the things that have broken you, while you stand in front here, while you're worshiping God, you speak to Him about this stuff. If you have people that you need to forgive, you forgive them. You don't hold it against them, because otherwise the cracks is going to get bigger. You forgive them. In Afrikaans sê ons, jy spreek hulle vry. How do you say that in English? Spreek hulle vry. You release them. Yeah, you release them. You know what? If they need a hiding, God will give them a hiding, a much better hiding than you can. So it's not your issue. It's not your problem. You give them to God. And you come and you say to the Lord from your heart, Lord, I've been stubborn in the past. I've tried to fix my own life. I've tried to be different from the way you wanted me to be. Tonight I yield to you. All that means is the clay says to God, shape me any way you want to. And see what God will do for your life tonight. If you want to come forward and have us pray for you, please come now. Thank you.